Thanks for joining us today for another in our series of The Shepherd's Heart, presenting timeless truth for such a time as this. Today we will listen to a message by Pastor James Richards recorded at the Hillview Baptist Church in Montego Bay, Jamaica, where he served as senior pastor for 12 years. He also served for 7 years as the president of Fairview Baptist Bible College in Jamaica. Pastor Richards now ministers at the Mountain Stream Baptist Church in Pennsylvania, USA. We pray that your hearts will be blessed.
In a way, all of us are at risk because in a country like Jamaica, getting bit by a mosquito is, commonplace, you know. Wherever you are, you never know. And the mosquitoes aren't big enough thing, and we can't pick this one out and look at it. Are there enough for these? Let's do it. I don't even know, you have to take them and study them. You don't know what bit you. So, you know, all of us are, in a way, exposed. And what is dangerous about malaria is that it can actually lead to death if it's not treated properly. You know, as I was looking, getting ready to preach today, I realized that we have a spiritual condition that is more deadly than malaria. And in a lot of ways, more deceptive. And I suspect that there may even be several of us here this morning who are suffering from that malady, from that disease, from that illness, and we do not even know it. And it's very, very important for you to detect it early, because failure to detect it early can lead to very, very serious consequences. This is something that could destroy your life. And the trouble is, most times, by the time you begin to see what's going on, you almost can't do anything else about it. And so this morning, my heart's desire is to warn you and give you a way to test yourself whether or not you're suffering from this condition. And as God speaks to you, I trust that you would not be careless with your spiritual health. What I'd like to do is to show you, first of all, the deadly consequences of this illness, this spiritual disease. And I'll ask you to turn in your Bibles with me to Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19. We're picking up the end of a story, really. And this is kind of how the story climaxes, and we're going to look on it and then perhaps jump back a little to understand how this came to pass. We're going to look on a man who had great, great, great potential, who could have become so much for God, and yet in the end lost absolutely everything. And we must ask ourselves, how in the world did this happen? The man we're talking about, as I said, the last part of his life story is found in Genesis chapter 19. We're talking about a gentleman named Lot. Ever heard of him? He was a cousin or a nephew of Abraham. And Abraham has come to be known as the father of faith. And one of the things you'll realize is that when Abraham set out, when God called Abraham to leave his country and to go to a strange land, God said, I'm going to send you someplace you don't even know, because I'm going to make of you a great nation. Lot went with him. And Lot began to enjoy some of the same blessings Abraham was enjoying. God made Abraham wealthy, and God also made Lot wealthy. Lot had so much wealth that he and Abraham couldn't live together anymore. And you're going to be surprised to discover this. At the end of the chapter, Lot has absolutely nothing left. And may I tell you something? He did not squander it. He was not like the prodigal boy who went out and took every cent and wasted it partying. In fact, it seemed like Lot made every effort to protect what he had. But in the end, he lost it all because of the disease he had. Look with me at the tragic loss this man suffered. We're told in chapter 19 of Genesis that two angels came to a city called Sodom. Now, Sodom was a wicked place. extremely wicked, and God was going to judge those cities. There were 5 cities in the plain. God was going to destroy all of them. Lot did not know that. But these 2 angels, looking like men, came to the city that night, and they walked into the city about evening. Now, in the day when Lot lived, there were no hotels, all right? You never had a Wexford court to the Wexford Hotel to call and book a night in, or anywhere for that matter. And so when strangers came to town, they just kind of slept out in the streets, or if a kind member of the community would invite them in their homes. Now today, I don't know if you want to invite people in your house, so you don't know, because in fact, you didn't want to give people in your car, a ride in your car if you don't know them, because you don't know who they are. But in those days, you know, you'd invite somebody in your house and just say, come in and rest. And Lot saw these 2 men, and Lot came and said, listen, guys, don't sleep in the street tonight. You better come to my house and sleep. Lot was doing it not just because he was generous, but because he knew that it was dangerous for these 2 men to sleep out in the city streets. He said unto them in verse 2, behold, now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and you shall rise up and go on your ways. And they said, no, we will abide in the street all night. They said, all right, don't put yourself to the trouble. We will stay out in the street. But he insisted, he pressed upon them, greatly the Bible said, he said to them, listen to me, don't stay in the streets. You come into my house. Because Lot was protecting these men. You see, the city of Sodom and Gomorrah and the others were given over to homosexuality. And these men were at risk had they stayed in the streets. You're going to find out that even in Lot's house, they were still at risk. Because the Bible tells us that Lot gave them a meal, and before they could go to bed, the men of the city gathered and demanded that Lot pass out these men to them so they could have their way with these men. Verse 6, and Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. We want to admire Lot for this, because Lot steps out to the men of the city and he says to them, listen to me, men, what you are going to do is wicked. Do not do it. I beg you, do not do what you are about to do. But what is amazing to me is that verse 8 follows verse 7. And I'm not amazed because it's verse 8. I know 8 follows 7. But it is what 8 contains. He just stood up and said to these men, what you are about to do is extremely wicked. I rebuke you, don't do it. And then listen to verse 8. Behold now, I have 2 daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you and do to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. I think the skin of every woman inside here should crawl. And every man too. Here was Lot saying to these men, what you're about to do is wicked. Don't try to take these men out of my house and abuse them. But I have 2 daughters. I'll give them to you and you can abuse them. What in the world is going on? You know what has happened? Lot has been infected by this disease. And here's one of the symptoms of this disease. It gives what I call selective hardening. And what it does is, it keeps some of your morals alive while it kills the others. And the reason that is so dangerous is because you have some of your discernment still with you. You think you're okay. To Lot's credit, he did not get involved in the sin of the city. And he would stand up and rebuke what the people are doing and said, what you are doing is wicked. Yet in his own heart, he had got to the place where he could expose his daughters to great evil and abuse. And it did not strike him how wicked that was. You know what I found out? Many of us suffer from the same condition. You know what I find? When somebody else does something wicked, we can stand up and say, what a wicked man. How could he do that? How could somebody think of doing something like that? But you know what? In our own hearts and lives, we harbor similar things. But we don't even recognize them. I like to be honest. So if I step on anybody's toe, draw them out of the way. But you know, somebody holds you up, and hold up any one of us, and at gunpoint and take our money from us. We say, what a wicked man, foreign go work. Do I dare say this? You know, some of us who have businesses, we're just as bad. But we don't recognize it. We charge some exorbitant prices for our stuff, and people have to come and get them anyways. But oh me, I would never rob anybody. Some of us don't own stores, but we go to work. And God bless what we do so work, right? You clock in the morning, and you clock out in the evening, and that is about all the work you did all day. Because you spent the rest of the time running up your boss's bill, chatting on the phone, having a good time, taking up your boss's stuff, take home the pen and paper and everything you can take. And I would never steal anything. You understand where we're going? That we look on some other people and we can see their sin and we can condemn them for what they're doing. And yet in our hearts, we are just as wicked, but we don't realize it. The sins we do are subtle, but yet as just as dangerous. And this disease does that to us. It makes us think we're okay, while on the inside we're dying. Lot could stand up and say to these men, don't be so wicked. But excuse me while I practice my own wickedness. Had a disease, dangerous thing. And I'm saying, there are some of you sitting here, you're saying, thank God it's not me, because I can recognize wickedness when I see it. You might just be surprised where you find wickedness if you have the courage to look. But that's not the only danger of this disease, that it gives you selective hardening. But this disease is also pretty dangerous, because it is something that is going to rob you of everything you hold precious. Listen now. This is amazing what happens to Lot. We're going to find out that in the end, Lot loses everything and anything that was important to him. After Lot says to the men of the city, I'll give you my daughters, the men say, we don't want your daughters. And they said, we're going to break off this door and come in. But let me show you what happens to Lot. The first thing Lot loses is any kind of influence on his society. He has gotten out there. He has spoken to his community. And here's what they said to him in verse 9. Stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn. And he will needs be a judge. This little man came down here as a visitor. And he's an alien living down here. And who does he think he is to come and tell us how to live? You will find out that Lot was an official in a community. But because Lot was suffering from this disease, he could no longer have any impact on his community. When he stood up for right, his community said to him, don't speak to us. You know what bothers me? That there are many of us as Christians who can no longer speak to our community and our society. When our society is in desperate need and desperate sin, if we stand up to say anything, they said to us, keep quiet. And we have to keep quiet because we have lost moral authority. Our lives have betrayed us. And they said to Lot, listen to me, we will just rip you apart and still get inside there. How dare you? Don't speak to us. You do not have the authority. But you know what bothers me? It is one thing to lose influence in your community. But you know what happened to Lot? Lot even lost influence within his family. The Bible tells us that the angels said to Lot, Lot, we are going to destroy this city. We're going to bring fire and brimstone out of heaven. The whole place is going to be overthrown. If you have any relatives, go and call them together and all of you get out of the city. And in verse 14, we're told that Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law. For bear me, think this through. If you knew that this building inside here, God forbid, is going to collapse in 30 seconds, I'm worshiping. When you came inside here to tell us that news, What kind of approach would you take? Don't you think there would be a great urgency and sincerity about what you would say to us? Because you would come in such a way that it would convince us that, listen, this building is dangerous, get outside of it. Well, Lot knew that the very next morning, fire and brimstone was coming out of heaven to burn up Sodom and Gomorrah. And he went to his two sons-in-laws and said to them, brethren, get out of here. This place is going to be destroyed. And look at the end of verse 14. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. They thought Lot was joking. I said to myself, what in the world could let anybody hear such a message of imminent danger and think, Lot? I'm sure Lot can go out and say, hey guys, guess what? You know what? It's going to be a fire here tomorrow. God is going to burn the place. You know? I don't think that was how Lot went. I think Lot went with all the urgency and sincerity he could muster up. And he said to his sons-in-law, this place is going to be destroyed. And they did not take him seriously. You know why? Lot had the disease. And it caused him to lose influence in his community and even influence in his family. Some of you are going to lose your families even though you profess to know the Lord, because you have the disease. You can't speak to them anymore. So he lost his influence and reputation in his community and his family. Lot lost all his possessions. From verses 15 through 25, we are told that in the morning, Lot didn't even want to leave the city. Imagine, Lot knew it was going to be burnt up, but the angels had to take him up bodily, one on either side, and escort him out of the city. And every possession he had, all the cattle and stuff he took with him down to Sodom and Gomorrah, the Bible says God sent fire out of heaven and burnt up everything that was down there. He had been a multimillionaire. He was now a pauper, living in a cave. My word. Beloved, some of us have some possessions, and it's all right to have them, you know. But some of you are going to lose every bit of it because of the disease you have. You will lose it, like Lot did. But it was bad enough to lose his possessions. But you know, Lot also lost his family. According to verse 17, the angel said to them, when you are fleeing, don't even look behind you. And the idea there, when you see the extended passage in Luke, where the Bible uses Lot's wife as an example, God was saying, when you are fleeing, don't even look back with longing in your heart for the things you are leaving behind. And the Bible tells us when they were fleeing, even as the things were being burnt up, Lot's wife looked behind them in verse 26. And the Bible says she became a pillar of salt. She died in the way. Lot lost his wife. But you know what was bad? He also lost his daughters because they were corrupted. And even though they got out of the city with him, their lifestyle and their values were completely lost because they would abuse their own father. Oh, I worry for Christians who are losing their families. For men and women who love your families dearly, but you are doing some things that will cause you to lose them. And you don't even realize it. And you know, finally, Lot lost even his dignity. Do you realize that? Here's what happened, because some of you don't know all of it. And let me just tell you, from verses 30 on to the end, it's not pleasant reading. Lot and his two daughters are living up in a cave. And these daughters say, you know something? We don't see any man around this place. You know? There are no men left, and we want children. So the only candidate we see is our father. The elders said to this younger sister, listen, we're going to make our father drunk tonight, and I'm going to go in and sleep with him. And she did that. And when she was done, the next night, the younger sister made the father drunk and went in and slept with him too. Both of them got pregnant by their father. How do you feel as a father when your daughters do that to you? Not even a little dignity. It's like you're down on the ground. You know those people who are so cruel? When you're down on the ground, they come by and give you a good kick. That's what happened to Lot. He was both father and grandfather to his children. Not even any dignity because of this disease. You know what a disease is? The Bible calls it worldliness. Worldliness. What is worldliness? Do you know what worldliness is? It is an undue or inappropriate attachment to material things. Let me tell you something. It is so easy for people to get caught in it. Do you know it's so easy? You see, just like how we say in Jamaica, it's easy to get bitten by a mosquito because mosquitoes all over the place. All of us need material things. Listen, I'm wearing clothes this morning. It's material things. Thankful most of us are wearing clothes. I live in a home. We have some furniture. We have a car. We need those things. I'll even tell you something. We have a little money. Not a lot, but we have some. And that's all right, because we need it. But here's what happens. All of us need money, but there can come a place when things become way too important to us. And those things now begin to take control of our hearts and begin to direct how we live and move. And when that happens, worldliness has taken over our lives. And listen, you don't have to be rich to be worldly. It doesn't matter who you are. You can be too consumed with worldly things. Where do we get that from? You know how you can test yourself if you're worldly? Look at what began to happen to Lot. If you go back all the way to chapter 13, you will find out what happened to Lot. Chapter 13, verse 5. You see, the thing began to show itself in his life, and Lot didn't recognize it. We're told that when Lot and Abraham were wandering, it says, Lot also went up in verse 5. Abraham had flocks, herds, and tents, and the land was not able to bear them that they might dwell together. So their substance was so great that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abraham's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. Let me tell you how you can test if you're suffering from worldliness. Ask yourself, what am I willing to fight over? What was that? What will I fight for? What will I fight to protect? All of a sudden, when Lot saw that there was going to be a problem with the land, there was not enough land to feed the cattle, Lot decided that I am going to fight to protect my wealth. And it didn't matter if he would fight his older, let me say, uncle. And you know what was funny? It was Abraham's land, you know. God said to Abraham, I will give you the land. And Abraham brought Lot along just as a tag along. And Lot is going to turn around and fight Abraham for what rightly belongs to him. You know what, friends? If you find out that you're willing to get out, if your claws come out when your material things are threatened, check your heart. Abraham said to Lot, let us not fight because we are brothers. He said the relationship is more important. But Lot said, I don't care who we are. I am going to fight to protect what I have. And beloved, just check your heart. If when your stuff is threatened, how do you respond? You might be surprised to find out that you are unduly attached to material things. You know, there are some husbands who dare not sit down in the sofa at home. You are sitting in the sofa. My white leather sofa. Let me ask you something. What do they make sofas for? Boy, if you can't sit down in it, get it out of the house and get one you can't sit down in. Some of you have not dined at your dining table because you don't want to scratch it. So why they call it a dining table? Some of your wives can't ride in your husband's car. Because you might shed some hair in there. Or leave some makeup in there. And he would die if you would ever get a little smudge in his car. I'll make matters worse. You ever drive and there's a little accident? You say, honey, there's an accident. What happened to the car? What has happened to it? And you know, me never did want you to drive that thing. You don't even know if the woman is okay. What has happened to us is that the material things have captured our hearts. Are we ready to fight over it? And we don't even know that we have a disease. that's going to destroy us. Oh, it sounds simple, you know, folk. And we sit here, we can laugh over it because it's so silly. But you know what? It is real. And there are marriages that have broken up. Homes, children feel like unwanted strangers in their homes because of material stuff. And they will turn around and say, oh, we're wonderful Christians just trying to serve the Lord. I wonder why we have no influence. Lot was willing to fight over the material things. And not only that, he was willing to destroy Abraham if he had to. Abraham said to Lot, I'm amazed at Abraham. Abraham said to Lot, Lot, look here. We don't have to fight. You see the land, any amount of the land you want, take what you want. And the Bible said when Lot looked, there was a lovely plain, an area filled with lovely grass and stuff. And listen now, if you have animals, you want a little grazing land. The Bible says in verse 10 of chapter 13, and Lot looked up, lifted up his eyes, and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord. The place was like Eden. It says like Egypt when the waters flooded. Then verse 11, then Lot chose him, and I cannot believe it. Every time I come to this portion, I'm shocked. Lot chose him all of the plains. It didn't say Lot so chose some, Lot so chose most. Lot took everything and said, Abraham, well, if you say I must choose, I'm going to take all the plains. You do without. And both of them had cattle. Couldn't the man say, look here, split it down the middle. You take some and I'll take some. He said, I want it all. And there are some of us who worldliness has made us greedy. We want everything and we make sure nobody else gets anything. A little boy, you'll be prayed, God bless daddy, bless mommy, bless my sister, and bless my pets. And if there's anything left, bless us again. What happened to the rest of the world? Just give us what you have. And so it is that worldliness encroaches upon our hearts. And when you check again, check your heart. What did I fight about recently? What was it that would cause me to risk straining a relationship? What did I strain it about? If it's material things, that disease has already begun to work in your heart. And here's one other test. What is it that will make you compromise your lifestyle? What is it that will make you choose to do something that is questionable, but you say, you know something, I can justify it? The Bible tells us, Lot went and built his tent near in the environs of Sodom. And as soon as the Bible says that, it says, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. These are wicked sinners. In fact, you go back and you read in 2 Peter chapter 2, where the Bible says, Lot vexed his righteous spirit every day as he heard and saw the actions of the people around him. And Lot didn't go down there to vex his spirit because he wanted to share the gospel with them. Lot wanted to enjoy the comforts of city life, so he was willing to offend his morals every day. I wonder if there could be anybody like Lot today who get involved in activities that every time you see it inside, you are so hurting. But you know what you do? You toughen yourself because there's money to be made here. And we will do some things that we know are wrong, and we will compromise where we stand. It is no wonder Lot had no testimony afterwards. He had compromised himself, and the people had seen his compromise. He was so worldly that he would risk his reputation, his testimony, his peace with God, because he thought he was gaining materially. And you know what is foolish? The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And he talks about what is in the world, but it says, the world passes away. And the lust, it says, these things in the world are going to be destroyed. You can't keep them. From the minute Lot's heart got attached to material things, Lot set himself up. He was going to lose. You know what Lot should have done? Lot should have pursued a fervent love for God. Because the Bible says, if you love the world, you can't love God. And the opposite is true. If you love God, you can't love the world. You cannot serve God and mammon. God says you can't love him and have a love for the world. And the trouble with us, the reason we get into these problems is that the love we should have for God, we do not have it. we pursue this kind of light, fluffy, surface relationship with God. We just only want to say, all right, me bear the name, but me not playing any game. I do what I want. I run these things down. And in the end, your heart is stolen from you. And the trouble is, you are going to lose the very things you sacrificed yourself for. The only thing Lot escaped with was his immortal soul. And you know why? It was God who kept the soul for him. The Bible says God was merciful to him. And God spared his soul. Some of you will not escape with even that, because you do not know Jesus Christ as Savior. You know, as I listen to all they say, we should fight malaria. They said to do some strange things. One, wear long sleeve clothes anytime you're going out in the evening. All right? Some of us don't like long sleeve clothes. Wear long sleeve clothes, long sleeve shirt, long sleeve pants. They say, before it get dark, lock up your... All right. Some of you are still awake down there. Thank you. That's good. Wear long pants. Oh boy, all right. But you know, they tell you to do that, and they tell you to lock up your house before it gets dark. I don't know about you, I like to keep my windows open so I can get a little breeze. But they say lock it up. And here's the thing, they say the only time you should open your window at dark is when they're fogging the place. That makes sense? I mean, you know, I know what they're saying, but normally when they're fogging the place, that's when I want to lock up my house, keep out the stinky scent. But you know what? If you're going to protect yourself, you have to take extreme measures. I'm going to say to you, friends, this thing of worldliness seems simple on the surface. It looks like it's not such a big deal, but in the end, it will destroy you. So you're going to have to be extreme. You're going to have to choose a life of holiness before God, a life of singular devotion to God. Where you say, the most important person to me is God. The most important thing is to know that God is pleased with my life, and I will not make excuses and compromise my walk with the Lord for material gain. Beloved, the danger is there are a lot of things which are good, but if you give them priority over God, you are in trouble. It's good to get an education, but if the education draws you away from God, it's not good. Oh, it's good to try to earn a good living, but if that draws you away from God, it is not good. It's okay to seek a life partner, but if that draws you away from God, it is not good. And in the end, you will lose so much more than you ever gain. It's good to have some recreation. Don't let it draw you away from God. Beloved, how are you living? What are you fighting for? What is it that will cause you to compromise your stand for God? Friend, if there are material things and pleasures, you're in a serious situation, and the earlier you turn from it, the better. Because this thing will harden your heart and get you to the place where you are destroying yourself and you don't even know it. My prayer is that God would give you insight this morning. And you would right now choose to place yourself before him completely and totally in surrender. And say, Lord, take my heart and keep it. And help me to walk close to you. Would you bow your heads and your hearts with me? With your heads and our hearts bowed before God. I wonder today, first of all, if I can speak to some Christian who would take an honest look at yourself, a tough look at your own heart, and ask yourself, what's going on in my heart? Am I being overrun by this disease, this worldliness? And I'm fooling myself because I can still recognize great wickedness and I won't do great wickedness, but in my heart I'm doing serious and subtle sins. But God spoke to you today and you're saying, Pastor, I recognize myself in that message today. God spoke to me. Would you pray for me that I would do what is right before God? I'd be yielded to him. Beloved, I'd be happy if that is a choice you're making. I'd be overjoyed to pray for you. And if you're saying, Pastor, I'm yielding myself to the Lord, would you pray for me? I would do that. Just raise your hand where you are. Take it down. I'll see it included in prayer. God bless you. God bless you. Several of you. God bless you. God sees your heart. And God means business. I wonder if there are some who don't know the Lord as Savior yet. Your situation is even worse than worldliness because you are still in your sins. And if you die in your sins, you're going to a Christless eternity, a place of eternal punishment. And God doesn't want that for you. Are you here today saying, Pastor, I know I need to trust Jesus Christ as Savior because I need to be free from my sin. Would you pray for me? I would be so happy to do that. Would you raise your hand where you are? Take it down. I'll see it. I'll include you in prayer. God bless you. But yes, God bless you. I have never trusted Christ as my Savior. God bless you. But I'd like to trust him. Father in heaven, we pray that you would help us to be obedient to you. Thank you for these who have raised their hands because you spoke to them. And there may be others who haven't raised their hands, but they recognize that you have spoken to them. And I pray that they would be obedient to you and they would do your will. And Lord, I pray for those who need to trust Christ as Savior, that today would be their day when they would yield to him and would find salvation. Thank you for speaking to our hearts. And just take these next few moments and use them for your honor and glory now, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
You have been listening to The Shepherd's Heart, produced by SheepGazette.com.